Reformed Church.
In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17, it's just really cool stuff related to reminding us of who we are, right? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17 says, "This I say therefore," this is King James, "this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that henceforth, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." And then it's cool because if you are wondering what vanity of the mind is, he defines it in the next verse. Vanity in their minds is when people have their understanding darkened, meaning they're alienated because of that their understanding being darkened or not having that understanding. They're alienated from the life of God through that darkening, that ignorance that is in them, which is also translated the blindness of their heart, right? So it's pretty clear what vanity of their mind is, right? It's the having an understanding darkened because of that they're alienated from the life of God because of that same ignorance, and it's called the blindness of their heart. And in verse 19, it's really interesting because it says being past feeling. And if you really look at this in context, being past feeling is like having like an apathy towards God. Like in other words, they're past. They have an apathy in their feelings toward God. In other words, they don't consider him, right? Which goes along obviously with the previous verses where he's talking about their understanding being darkened. So being past feeling toward God, you could almost say, right? Being past feelings toward God or never considering him, having themselves have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Because obviously a person that if you don't have line of sight to the Lord, then all you have is the world, right? And the world is all about the desire, right? The desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, right? The lust of the eyes and pride of life, etc. So verse number 20 says, "But you have not so learned Christ." So it's really cool because he comes to say, you know, don't walk in verse number 17 as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, because verse 20, you have not so learned Christ. In other words, we don't walk in that, in having our understanding darkness. We don't have to walk in the vanity of our minds, right? Because we know the Lord, right? So that we do have understanding. We are not blind in our hearts towards the Lord, right? We do have love towards God, right? We have feelings. Our feelings are towards him, right? So we have learned Christ. And verse number 21, I like it because it talks a little bit about some of the things that I've been thinking about in recent messages about how we're taught of God. It says, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Like the Lord has revealed himself to us, right? He's revealed himself to us. He's made himself known to us, and we've acknowledged him, right? Verse number 20 says that you put off then, because we're people that know, because we're people that have been taught, because we're people that understand, he says, then you can put off that former conversation or that former behavior, that old man, right, that old stuff, that dated, you know, that stuff that's no longer who we are today. So basically, because we've learned Christ, because we've learned to behold him, we can be reminded as our mind is renewed, like who we are, right? Who we are and what it is that we have. And he actually talks about it in the next verse. He says, verse 22, again, that you put off concerning the former conversation or that former behavior of that old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, right? In other words, the old man lives by those deceitful lusts. Like he just talked about persons that are given over to work all lasciviousness, which is just, I think that ties in with just lust and desires, right, that were just dragged through by those desires to work uncleanness and greediness of verse 19. Here, that's what he's referring to, is deceitful lusts, right? So desires that are actually deceptive, right? Verse 23, he says, and be renewed, right? You can put off that old stuff because we're being renewed, he says, in the spirit of our mind, and we're able in verse 24 to put on the new man. And here's a cool thing. It says, which after God is created, right? Which after God. So as our mind is being renewed, it says that we're reminded that the new man, the new creation that we've been made, is after God, right? Created, he says, in righteousness and true holiness. So he's saying, I have made you like I am. And it's just a really, 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 really cool reminder. Along that line there, I'll just bring you to just the last verse, which I think is a great reminder. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 8, it says, you've put all things in subjection under his feet, meaning Jesus, right? For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, verse number 9, right? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace should taste death for every man. For it became him, verse 10, from whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So it just goes on to say, you know, you may not see everything manifestly, right? Or in this world, you don't see everything under the feet of Jesus. But we that understand and that know our God, right, we do see Jesus. And because we see Jesus, right, we can behold the glory of the Lord. We know who he is. We know what he has. We know how he sits above all things. And then it says, verse number 11, for both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Like it's that, like that, I was just thinking about that this afternoon. It says he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Like the really cool part of that is that the Lord is not ashamed to call us brethren, because he knows who we are, right? And it's a really, really, really good reminder. Like I just stopped, you know, I didn't really have time to take a lunch, but I just stopped for a second, went downstairs and just took a little walk. And it's just such a cool thing. You just mindful of the Lord for a second, just acknowledge him. And right away that came to my mind. He said, I'm not ashamed to call you my brother. And when the Lord says that to you, like, I'm not ashamed to call you my brother, he's saying, I'm not ashamed to call you my brother, because I know who you are. I know who you've been made, right? You've been made just like me. And I tell you what, for the Lord to remind you of something like that, for him to remind you, you know, you've been made just like me, and I'm not ashamed to call you my brother. That's an awesome reminder, right?
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.